Come with me if you want to live.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Fury Road. We are your hosts, Mark
and Brooke,
and this is part three of our Mad Max franchise playthrough, however you want to call it. Anyways, so Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Mad Max 3 Beyond Thunderdome? I don't know. Anyways, this movie came out in 1985. You looked like you're going to say something. So
I just waiting for you.
1985, this one came out. Much different than the first two.
Very much different, yes.
This is the first time watch for both of us.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Sure, we both have some thoughts on it, but...
Yeah, definitely.
We'll discuss those after we do our box office news and booze. What are you drinking tonight?
Just got some chamomile tea.
You know. All that alcohol again?
Yeah. My head hurts right now too, so you know.
Your head hurts?
Yeah, I got a headache, yeah.
Oh well, shit.
What are you drinking?
My Blackberry Crown still.
Nice.
Just I have a feeling I'm just gonna keep drinking this until the bottle's gone. Which isn't gonna be too much longer. All right. Have you watched anything this week?
I have quite a bit actually. Let's see. I watched Puppet Master Dr. Death.
Two stars, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's actually not bad, actually. Because I've been going through or looked at our like Letterboxd stats, and there's a few franchises that are almost done, and so locked that off. I wanted to watch the Sleepaway Camp one, but I can't find it anywhere, so I don't know.
I think it's on YouTube.
Is it? Oh, okay.
I think so, yeah.
I watched Secret Life of Pets. It's on one of the lists on Letterboxd.
Was that your first time watching it?
I think all the way through, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen that movie so many fucking times. So many times.
Oh. We watched, finished a documentary series on Netflix called The Program, Cons, Cults, and Kidnapping. Crazy doc. It happened like 5 minutes from Mark's. Well, not 5 minutes, but probably like 20 minutes from your place.
Crazy.
Yesterday, had the pleasure of joining a couple friends to watch Monkey Man. One of them, including you.
So. Yep.
Yeah, I had a good time with it. It was it's a good movie, man.
Very good.
We watched another doc on Netflix called What Jennifer Did. It was actually based in Scarborough, I think.
Oh, really?
It was okay. It wasn't like anything crazy, but yeah, definitely a wild story.
What did Jennifer do?
Well, I don't want to spoil it, but you know.
Oh, it's not like, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then we watched Bob Marley One Love. It's on Paramount Plus now. It was okay. Thought the guy that played Bob Marley did an amazing job.
Nice.
He was really good. Yeah.
So that wasn't that's not a documentary. That's like a biopic, I guess.
Yeah, biopic. Yeah.
Okay. Watched The Nightmare Before Christmas. I made the mistake of showing this movie to Hunter, and I mean, great movie. I love it.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites. But now that's all he ever wants to watch. If we're in the car together, all he wants to do is listen to the soundtrack. And it's just like, it's getting to be a lot.
That's awesome.
And like, it's awesome, but at the same time, like, I don't want it to make me not like enjoy it anymore.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. So we watched that. The trailer for Maxine came out, so it got me hyped. So I watched Pearl. I'm probably gonna watch X at some point soon as well. Watch Expendables 4.
Nice.
It was okay. It was okay, but not like, I don't know. That franchise has kind of gone downhill for me. As you said, I was one of the friends that you went to see Monkey Man with. I fucking love that movie. Like, I feel like it's going to be a top five for me this year.
Okay. Nice.
I don't know. I just thought it was really, really good. And then last night I watched Night Shift because it says here that it's 2023, but it's actually a 2024 release. So I want to start working on some of those movies because we always do the stabbies at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And last year was a scramble trying to fit in as many movies as I could before the episode started the recording. But so, yeah, it was okay. Nothing special, though. And I know you started Fallout. Did you only watch one episode or
we've watched two episodes now.
Two, okay.
Good. It's good so far, yeah. It's a cameo in the second episode that I did not expect, or I didn't know that they were in it.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a great show. Walton Goggins is awesome. The main girl, she's actually from Yellow Jackets. So
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
It seems like they're casting a lot of the girls from that show in other stuff lately.
Yeah.
And that's a show I still need to watch. Nice. All right. For the box office, we are recording on a Sunday. So that means we get this weekend's updated stats right now. In fifth place, Dune Part 2 is still there with 4.3 million this weekend. And a total of 272 million. So it's making bank. Kung Fu Panda 4 is in fourth place with 5.5 million.
And money.
Yeah, that one's at 173.6 million. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is in third with 5.8. In second, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire with 15.4. That one's already at 157.9 million.
Damn. It just came out last weekend.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. It's going to make a lot of money. And in the top spot in its opening weekend, we have Civil War bringing in 25.7 million.
Awesome.
Monkey Man just missed the top five with 4.1 million.
We should have went and watched it like 100 more times.
Yeah, it's only $220,000 short.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's a pretty decent set of movies.
Yeah, it is.
Like, yeah, the top seven, like the first Omen is in there as well. So I don't know. I think we got a good run of movies going right now.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. What about, randomly, Shrek 2 is in the top 10.
Really?
I don't know why.
Huh.
It brought in 1.35 million and it was playing in 1,500 theaters this weekend.
Was it like the anniversary or something of it?
I don't know. Maybe. But that's, it's kind of crazy. That movie's total gross is 442.7 million.
Yeah, it's going on 20 years.
20 years since Shrek 2 came out?
Yeah.
Oh my God, man, that is so depressing. 20 fucking years. Gross. We are so old. All right. Is there any 4Ks this week?
Not really worth bringing up.
You said that last week, and then there's a shit ton of good
ones. There's only two from this week. We got King Kong from 1976 and some movie on Criterion Collection, Picnic at Hanging Rock, which I've never heard of.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you weren't lying this time.
No.
All right. Well, I guess we can dive into this movie discussion.
Let's do it.
Okay, like we said in the intro, this week we are talking about Mad Max 3 Beyond Thunderdome from 1985. The synopsis. After being exiled from the most advanced town in post-apocalyptic Australia, a drifter travels with a group of abandoned children to rebel against the town's queen. So let that settle in for a minute.
That's more like the third act.
Yeah, exactly. This was directed by George Miller again, obviously. But he brought a friend, and George Ogilvy helped him direct this one.
Whoever that is.
I don't know. I looked him up, and he doesn't have much. The cast list, obviously, we have Mel Gibson playing Max. We have Tina Turner playing Anti-Entity. Helen Boudet is playing Savannah Nix. Angelo Rizzito plays the Master. And our boy Bruce Spence comes back as a different character, but the same type of character in Jedediah.
That really bugged the shit out of me.
Me too. Me too.
Because he's like almost the exact same, like same personality, same like
he's an aviator,
except he has a kid.
Yeah.
And like, we'll get into it, but like right off the bat, like first character that Max meets is him. Pretty much, not face to face, but it's like, I don't know. It bugged the shit out of me.
Yeah, me too. I mean, if you're gonna have him come back, just have him play his character. Why does it matter?
Yeah, exactly.
So I read in the trivia that this movie was actually written to not be a Mad Max movie. It was supposed to be like a Lord of the Flies type movie. With an adult finding the children and rescuing them. But then George Miller decided to turn it into a Mad Max movie and have Max finding them and rescuing them.
Okay.
So I think that's why it kind of feels like two very different movies. Like from the first half to the second half. But we'll dive a little bit deeper into that. Did you have any honorable mentions on the cast list?
I kind of. So I got our boy Iron Bar.
Okay.
He plays Iron Bar, and his name is Angry Anderson.
Oh yeah.
And his like picture on IMDb is like, if you don't zoom it out, it's just a picture of the bridge.
Okay.
Like.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
But if you click on it, it's just him like flying in the air.
What the fuck?
And that's his IMDb picture.
Which
he's the guy with the bald head and like the fucking mannequin head.
Oh, okay. I liked that guy.
Yeah,
that was a
me
cool
too.
character.
Yeah. I don't know if the guy that played Blaster, if it was two different people that played him.
I want to say I think so, because like when he's laying on the ground, we'll get into this in a little bit because that scene is fucking wild. When he's laying on the ground, it looks like the body and the head are two different people.
Yeah.
Like it almost looks like the head is kind of underneath the body, if that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, it threw me off when they took the helmet off.
Yeah. Well, me too, for a different reason. But,
but yeah, that's it.
All right, cool. Let's kick off this movie discussion then.
All right. So yeah, movie picks off. I'm not sure exactly how far after the second one, but we got some guy just in a camel, I don't know, car thing. I don't know what you call it, but we see Jedediah and Jedediah Jr. in the airplane. They drop down and steal his ride from him, and then you see that it's Max. He's chasing after him, and then he eventually gets to a place called Bartertown, where it's like, I don't, kind of reminded me of like a town on there.
Mad Max?
No.
Fallout?
Well, yeah, Fallout, but the one in space. Why can't I fucking Borderlands?
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. I can definitely see that.
But I love, like, the characters in this movie were so wild. Like, the costume designs were, you know, so much, like, crazier than, like, the other ones. You got the guards. They have, like, these wild, like, wigs on them. And I love the guy that's trying to sell water to Max. He's like, oh, I got some good water here. And then Max, like, puts, like, a device in it. It's, like, radiation.
Yeah.
And I don't think you meet this guy yet, but you meet there's a guy there named Master Blaster, who is actually two people. One guy, Master, who is a tiny person, maybe like 3 feet tall, and then a companion named Blaster, who is this like giant rip guy with like almost like those scuba diving helmets on. And just Master just tells him what to do, and he kind of runs the whole show of the underground.
They collect and repurpose pig shit. They use the pig shit, the methane in the pig shit to run the whole town. So he kind of takes care of all that. And he thinks that he's in charge. Well, he runs the whole town because it's his underground that produces the fuel and whatnot. But there is a, I don't know, what, like a queen, I guess, a mayor, a leader, however you want to call her, that like actually runs the whole town.
So he ends up getting taken up. I love whenever Max gets to the place and like they're able to like arrest him, and he's like, oh, I want to see whoever, like, points the gun at him, at the guy up on the, I don't know what his role is, but he's like the guy who like takes care of everything on the ins and outs, like stuff like that.
Well, it's called Barter Town because everybody's bartering, right? Like it's like a trade town. So like you bring something and then he trades you something for whatever it is that you're bringing.
And Max says that he's good at, you know, killing people or searching for stuff. And so they bring Max to Auntie. And I love whenever they stop him and he's like, oh, you gotta put in your weapons. And he's
It
like,
was so good.
takes out a gun, puts it down, and just immediately like takes out like 30 different weapons, and they're all standing there like, what the hell's going on? So he's up in this castle room thing with Auntie Entity. She has like some guy playing the saxophone who's blind. And shout out to Tina Turner, man. Like, she did a great job, and the shit she went through for this role, like, she had to shave her head bald, and I guess the like chain bodysuit that she had on weighed like 120 pounds.
Really? Holy shit. I don't even think Tina Turner weighs 120
I
pounds in
know,
this
right?
movie. That's fucking nuts. And like, yeah, she was totally fine with shaving her head. And in the 80s, like, her hair was fucking iconic, dude. Like, she had this wild ass fucking
I thought the
mess of
hair in this
hair.
was her hair.
Yeah, it looked like it could have been legit with like maybe some extensions or something, but yeah, like you always see like silhouettes of her and her hair's just like it's crazy back in the 80s. Like she had iconic hair for sure.
So while they're up there, Iron Barge tries to kill Max, a few other guys, and Max stops them from killing him, and then immediately Auntie is like, oh, you survived the audition. And so she sent Max down to the underworld, I think, right?
Does she do that first or does he? Because he meets Master Blaster before he goes into the Thunderdome. So yeah, like she's showing him what's going on because she has this like fuck's that thing called that they have on like submarines that it's like a not a telescope, but it's kind of like a telescope, you know what I mean? So she has one of those that kind of goes down into the underworld. I love this scene because she's telling him and explaining to him like what they're doing with all the pigs and like how they produce this methane energy that runs the whole town. And she says, this is Master Blaster, and he runs the underground, and then all of a sudden Blaster just takes this handful of shit and throws it at the telescope thing. It's gonna bother me. I can't remember what that thing's called, but yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was really funny.
Yeah, and then Master gets kind of pissed off at her because, you know, she's like kind of talking down at him, and he turns off all the power, and then he like radios up to her like, who am I? Like, say that I run Barter Town.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah, you do. And he's like, say it louder. And she like, he's like, puts it out to the whole town, and he's like, Master runs Barter Town. And it's just like this little fucking guy who like runs everything, really, right?
And I love the way he talks too.
Yeah.
Cause like he talks with a little bit of an accent, but it's like very much broken English. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And then Max meets one guy down there. What was his?
Painkiller.
Oh, I think it's, oh, Painkiller. Yeah. Yeah. And Max like asks him like, oh, like how long are you in prison for, or doing this for? And he's like, ah, oh, I got it for life. And Max is like, oh, what'd you do? He's like, oh, I killed a pig. My family had to eat. It's like, good year, a life in prison just for that, for killing a pig.
Yeah.
So yeah, Max is down there, and there's a guy like working on some vehicle and has dynamite underneath it, and they don't know how to get it off, and he's about to like cut the dynamite, and Max is like, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And they're like, oh, why? And he's like, that's my vehicle. And the Master tells him like, you know, unhook the dynamite. So Max gets in the car and like hits some bell or something like that, like creates this like sonic sound, and it hurts Blaster's ears. Like he can't do anything when this is happening.
Yeah.
And he gets like a little like whistle, like dog whistle kind of thing.
Yeah, anything that's high pitched, it just completely debilitates them.
Yeah. And I think before this too, whenever he survived the audition, Anti-Entity tells him, like offers him like, keep the brain and kill the body.
Yeah.
So they want to keep Blaster, but get rid of, or they want to keep Master, get rid of Blaster.
Yeah, because I mean, without Blaster, he's nothing, right? I mean, the guy's 2'11".
Yeah. So Max makes a deal with Anti-Entity. If he gets rid of Master Blaster, then he wants everything back. That, like, he wants a car, guns, gas, water, like all that stuff to leave Bartertown.
Yeah, it's to continue same, on.
The exact same stuff that happened in the second one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He got to a town. He wants to leave, but has to do something. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, it's just like, just so he can continue on with his journey to wherever it is that he's going.
Yeah. Yeah. So Max has to fight in the Thunderdome, and happened a lot sooner than I thought.
Yeah.
Because I thought that like the movie would take place around this, because it's, I guess it's called Beyond Thunderdome, but
let's, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I felt like this was like kind of the spectacle, like, my buddies who have seen this before, they're like, oh, you're going to love Master Blaster. And like, they are great, but they're not in it that long.
No.
Right.
Yeah. I was thinking that like, it was going to be sort of like a gladiator style movie where he like kind of works his way up the ranks, and then he finally gets to fight Master Blaster at the end.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's not the way it goes.
Yeah. But, I love this Thunderdome, man. It's, they got bungees. They're like attached to bungees, and I was like, that's kind of weird. And everyone, it's like, what are those things that the playground's called?
Yeah,
The climbing thing. I don't know.
It's like a dome, but it's like made of monkey bars.
Yeah. And so everyone from the town is like climbed up on these monkey bars, like on the outside watching it. And they like up on the top, on the sides, like all around it. And they put like different weapons around these on the inside, on like these spikes.
Yeah.
There's like a chainsaw, there's like different weapons. And these two guys are on like bungees, so they can like jump around like fucking Cirque du Soleil. And I love this. You know, Max is getting his ass kicked, and then eventually Max gets the chainsaw, then the guy gets like some scythe weapon, and just a awesome fight scene.
Yeah, it's like hand-to-hand combat, but like kind of high flying at the same time. Don't know. I thought it was cool to see. I don't, it was just a different way of doing things. So it was fun and it was neat to see. And then like the way that they switch between weapons, and Max still has his dog whistle that he's trying to use on Master or on Blaster. But he keeps dropping it. He can't get it. And at one point, he does finally grab it. But then Blaster puts him in this big bear hug, so he can't use it. And it's just, I don't know. It was good. It was like a solid 5 minute scene of them just fighting each other. It was cool.
Max is like on the ground trying to grab it, and Blaster is like sitting on top of him, like laughing, like
Yeah.
smashing him in the ground. Then, like at one point, he grabs Max and the bear hug and pulls him all like back and lets him go to like throw him into the spikes that are in there, but ends up missing it. And then like Max ends up getting the chainsaw like started, and he starts chasing Blaster around the thing, and then like the chainsaw stops working, so then Blaster starts chasing him around, and he has like the scythe, and he's like going back and forth with Max. He's like bungeeing over him and back and forth, and because at one point Max like slices his bungees so he can't go around,
Yeah.
but then eventually Blaster gets as well. And then so Max does eventually get the whistle. He ends up smashing Blaster in the head with like a baseball bat with barbed wire on it, I think, and knocks the helmet off, and everyone's like, oh shit. And then Max looks down and everyone's like, oh, finish him, like one two men in, one man out. And Max looks down, and it's like a fucking, looks like a child.
Got Down syndrome.
Like, yeah, he, I guess. So yeah, he
He
does.
did. The guy had Down syndrome.
Yeah, he's like
I feel
what?
like this character, like the actor, actually had Down syndrome.
Oh, you think so?
Oh yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. I mean,
That's why it
maybe.
threw me for such a fucking loop, because I was like, what the fuck? Like, I did not expect that at all.
But yeah, Max ends up having to kill Blaster.
He didn't kill him, though.
Well, he's assumed he's dead, right?
Someone from the crowd killed him.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, because Max wasn't going to kill him.
Oh, right.
And that's why this whole thing happened afterwards, because Max broke the one rule of the Thunderdome, which is two man enter, one man leaves.
Technically, one man did leave.
Yeah, but it wasn't Max that killed him.
No. So yeah, Max tries to end up leaving, and but he can't, so he has to spin the wheel to seal his fate. And I actually have the list of things that were on the wheel. So the possible outcomes on the wheel are acquittal, which you get off scot-free, amputation, auntie's choice, death, forfeit goods, the gulag, hard labor, life imprisonment, spin again, or underworld. I
Feel like
feel like,
underworld would be life imprisonment, no?
I was going to say underworld is kind of like hard labor.
That too, yeah.
They're all kind of the same because you're shoveling pig shit.
Yeah, and like Pig Killer, he's down there for life, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I thought the gulag, because like, I mean, I don't play Call of Duty, Warzone, whatever. But I'm pretty sure the gulag is, in that is like you go one on one with someone in. But yeah, Max gets the gulag. So he's put on a horse with a giant head on him for some
Yeah.
reason. And there's, was it like
So
a
weird.
thing of water attached to the horse?
Yeah, I think so.
Set off into the desert with the horse. And then like later that night, Pig Killer has Max's monkey, sends the monkey away with water after Max. I'm not too sure how the monkey exactly knows where to go, to be honest, but
Monkeys are smart.
But yeah, the horse ends up pretty much dying of thirst.
That was sad, man, because
it
that
was
horse died
sad,
a
yeah.
slow ass death.
He did. Gets pulled into quicksand. Max ends up getting away, but there's no water left because like the thing broke open. Max is trying to make his way back somewhere, ends up passing out. And you see this kind of weird figure coming towards Max.
Yeah.
Now my own question is, where did the monkey go?
Yeah, I don't know. Because do we see the monkey again in the movie?
We do, but like
way later.
You would have assumed if Max passed there, the monkey.
Yeah. Maybe monkeys require less like water than we do. Sorry, I know I seem distracted. I'm looking up Paul Larson, who is the actor that played Blaster.
Oh.
And I think I need to retract my previous statement because he does not have Down syndrome.
Yeah, but was it the same person that played like?
This is what he looks like.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Can you?
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, they really made it look like he does. So kudos to the costume department.
Yeah.
And I feel like an asshole.
So yeah, Max gets carried away by this this girl. And this is where the movie took a turn that I did not really expect, because it feels like an entirely different movie. He wakes up in this canyon, there's like kids, there's a boat, there's water. This girl's named Savannah. He wakes up and they think that he's this Captain Walker. And this whole thing just, it felt like the Lost Boys, and that he was like Peter Pan.
Yeah, I agree 100%. That was my first thought too. I was like, when the fuck did Mad Max get to Neverland?
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what this felt like.
And like, I didn't hate it, but it's just like, I don't know, it just took me out of it kind of.
Yeah, it was such a weird turn for a Mad Max movie. Because, I mean, we always see him meeting up and teaming up with this like eclectic group of survivors, but for it to be a group of children, I don't know. It was just, it lost me, and it turned it into more of like a family movie, I found.
Yeah. And before we found out that, like, the plane, they're like, he's waking up and they're like, go on, fly, fly. And I was like, well, Peter Pan can fly. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, they're known as the waiting ones. They talk in like kind of a broken English. They're talking about doing the tell, which Savannah has like this tree branch that kind of like looks like a TV. Like she's pointed at the wall and like telling the story of Captain Walker. All the kids are like sitting down, and Max just like they're watching it, and you know, they're telling the story. And there's like kind of two leaders, I guess, Savannah and then also a guy named Slate.
And they have all these like artifacts from like pre-apocalypse time. So like the one kid is holding a big long branch, and he's got a vinyl record on the end of it, and another kid's wearing like a headset, and he's like spinning the record on the stick, and then the other kid's like, breaker, breaker, come in, breaker 9-1, and he's like trying to like use it as a radio. And I don't know, it was like, it was funny and kind of cool to see how they were using all the stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, they had super broken English. I kind of like the way that they talked. Like their main goal in life is to get to Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
Which is like this big city that we later find out is Sydney, Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because basically, the story is that this plane crashed into Captain Walker. And I think like, I don't know, 20 or 30 people survived, and Captain Walker left the group, I believe, to go find help. And he said that he would eventually come back and take them to Tomorrowland, where there's skyscrapers and like light bridge and all this stuff. And then Max just like gets up and like starts leaving. He's like, yeah, I'm not Captain Walker. There's also like a kind of a war boy, which I think is like the first we've seen in these movies. He's kind of like a shaman kind of thing. Forget
Screw loose.
Screw Loose.
But again, he's just a kid. Like, he's like, I don't know, maybe 15, 14, 15.
And then they put like a hat, captain's hat on Max, a pilot's hat with like a bird, and Max like gets up and throws it, and all of a sudden like this wind picks up, brings like the hat all the way up out of the canyon, and all the kids start going, oh, it's time, it's time. They like run up the canyon and run to this giant plane, and like the plane is there, it's fucking massive, but all these kids are like, come on, Captain Walker, fly us to Tomorrow Land. It's like, how the fuck are you gonna get this thing in the sky? Was a cool shot though, because like Screw Loose is like way up on the fucking tail of the plane, and all the kids are on top of it waiting for him, and so they end up taking falling asleep. This girl wakes Max up and she's like, you gotta help us. Like, Susanna is trying to leave. So she's bringing a few people with her to try and go find either the real Captain Walker or Tamora Moreland. And Max is like, no, like, you can't go anywhere. He has grabbed fucking Slate's like spear, but it has like a rifle in it. And they don't know what guns are, obviously. So he like just breaks the thing, gets the gun, takes like a bullet of something that was like hanging there, puts it in and shoots it right by Susanna. And he's like, you guys aren't going anywhere. And she's like, just tries to leave again and grabs another bullet, shoots like a watermelon beside her, and then I think she ends up leaving. Oh no,
He
he
ties them
walks
all
up.
up.
He just fucking goes up to her, like grabs her by the neck and just says like this, and it's like, okay. And just fucking punches her in the face and knocks her out.
Child abuse in the movie.
So now he wakes up again, and Susanna has left with a few people again.
Savannah.
Is this Savannah?
Yeah.
I don't know why I wrote Susanna. But she leaves with a few people, and all the kids are like on the sand dune, and they're like chanting something, and Slate basically says like, you know, we need to get her back because they're not going to survive out there. So Max says, okay, I'll go get them. I need as much water as I can carry. They like put a bunch of water there, and then Slate tells them like, we need a hunter with you. So they look at some kid who has all these fucking spears. He comes with them, and so does another kid with like a bow and arrow. So they go after them, and you hear like some screaming, and you see all the kids are down like a sand dune, and one kid is like getting sucked into the quicksand, and Max gets there, pulls him up, but unfortunately the one kid at the end does not make it. He gets ducked into the quicksand.
And he was the first kid that found Max in the desert, that like rescued Max.
Oh really?
Yeah. Can't remember what his name was.
Fan.
Finn, yeah.
So they're kind of chilling, taking a nap, sleeping, and then Screw Loose kind of wakes up in the middle of the night and runs over to the hill and goes and gets Max. They go and look, and you see all these lights, and Max is like, yeah, it's Barter Town. I guess we're gonna head there, because I don't know why exactly they go there.
Because he wants to get Master
Oh, okay.
to help him build like a new civilization.
So they get to Barter Town, they make it to the underworld. Master is chained up. He's working in the underworld now because he doesn't have Blaster. Pig Killer ends up helping him a bit. I loved all the fucking oiled up, jacked people. Especially some of the girls. Like, there were some girls who were fucking ripped.
Yeah.
They're all fucking oiled up, and but they end up fighting and killing a few of the guards. Iron Bar gets thrown in a big vat of pig shit. That was great. They end up blowing Buttertown up pretty much. They let all the pigs go, and they make it out with like it's like a train car kind of thing. And like the town's going crazy trying to get out of there, and then Anti-Entity is just like, everyone shut the fuck up. We can still revive Buttertown. We just gotta go and get Master back. And he's like, what, everyone else who helped him, like, kill them, basically. So they're going after Master. And I love whenever they're driving, Max is like on the side of the car, and he's like, the pig killer's like, okay, what's the plan? Pig killer's like, plan, there's no plan. They're just fucking getting out of there. And now we get back to a Mad Max movie. I really liked this whole chase scene. It was very reminiscent of the other movies, but I thought it was choreographed very well, and like the action set pieces were done well. What's anything stood out from you in this action scene?
Oh, the when Auntie's in the caboose, because they're in the train, like you said, and she makes one of her guys detach, I guess, the caboose from like the front part of the train.
Oh, yeah.
And then she yells at him to get Master. So this guy needs to hook his feet into the caboose and then lay forward to create like a bridge so that they can go across to the other fucking car and steal Blaster. And then like so they managed to get him and then bring him back to the caboose. And then the scene with Max whenever he jumps across and grabs Master back and then jumps back out to the other train car. I don't know, I thought that was really cool.
I love the one, the scene with Ironbark, 'cause he's on like that old school like pump cart behind them, just fucking pumping.
So fast.
And he's like, get them. And then a car like pulls up beside him, and he like jumps off it onto that. And then he goes up beside another like motorcycle thing. He like hops off that, like going across to like different vehicles, and then gets on one. I thought it was cool. There's like one scene that they did. Was cool. So he gets up to the side of it, and then Max, I think, is on another kind of like cowhide car, and he puts Iron Bar in front of the train, and the train just fucking ends up plowing through him. And I was like, oh, all right, bye, Iron Bar, that's it. And then like smoke clears, and all of a sudden you see Iron Bar in the front, like this, all covered in black soot. He's like, ah. That was funny.
Like the scene in part two with fuck, I can't remember what the main bad guy's name was in that one. Not like the boss, but the other one. Like he hits him with the semi truck and you think he's dead, but then he fucking pops up from the
Oh,
grill. Kind of like that.
I also like the scene too. Max is like on the side, and Pig Killer, there's an arrow that's shot in the side of the door, and Max sees the blood, and he's like, okay, on the count of three, we're gonna pull it out. Pig Killer's like, okay. Max is like, one, rip. Pig Killer's like, ah, what happened to two and three? But they end up getting to like the end of, because the train tracks stop eventually, and all of a sudden you see is Jedediah Jr. just on the top of this mountain with like a fucking big rifle. He's like, you guys are in trouble now. And he has the gun up, and then he like looks behind them, all these cars coming, and he's like, uh-oh, we're in trouble now. And just books it, and there goes like his like secret bunker. So that was really cool too.
I was just gonna say that bunker was fucking sweet. Cause like an old beat up car and he just climbs into the trunk of it, and then there's like this tunnel dug out underneath it. So like he climbs into the trunk, goes into the tunnel, closes the trunk hatch. I don't know. Yeah, it was really cool.
And he goes down there yelling at his dad. He's like, "Dad, I told you we'd be in trouble." And dad's like, "I don't know, laying down." Obviously, you hear his voices, and he looks up, and Max like runs by, and Max like does a double take, comes back, and he's like, "Oh, look who we got here!" He's like, "You're a lucky man," and he's like, "You got an airplane, right?" So he gets to the plane, and I don't know how all these people fit in this plane.
That was my thought too. This is the smallest plane I've ever seen in my life, man.
Like, they fit in the back of it, but it's so small. And they start like going, and like Jedediah is like, "Okay, we're not gonna be able to take off. There's too much weight." So they end up like throwing off some supplies and stuff like that. But they're still not full be able to fly yet or get away.
Because there's
So,
like 30 kids plus
yeah.
Max
Plus
plus
Master.
Master plus Pig Killer.
Oh yeah, Pig Killer was there too.
Like, holy fuck.
So Max ends up jumping on one of the guy's cars that was chasing after him, kicks him out, and then you see like Iron Bar like in the front. You see all the cars like in a lined up, and Max just goes straight on Iron Bar and just fucking crashes right into him, blows up like two or three other cars, and it's like disaster. You see the plane get up and like be able to fly away. And I love too, you see Iron Bar, like his like mannequin head, like on the ground. You see like his arm like go out, and they like just gives him Max the finger. That's funny. But Max is on the ground, and then Anti-Entity comes up, and they have like guns on him. And Anti comes up, and what she says, she's like, something like, "We make a good pair," or something like that. And then she just walks back and drives off and leaves him alive, which I didn't understand. Like, I don't know, did she kind of like respect him? Like, what,
I think it was more like,
she could use them again in the future maybe or something?
yeah, or like she just assumed that the desert would kill him. So, like, she didn't have to.
Right.
Like, at least giving him the dignity of trying to survive, maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, Max starts walking away, and then the movie cuts to the airplane. They are arriving to Sydney, so they got to the city. They see all the skyscrapers, and then this last part, like the other movies, is narrated by someone in the movie. And it's Savannah that's narrating. She's talking about how, you know, they're building this new world, and you see all these like lights that are in the skyscrapers, and you see them sitting around with her, and there's all of the people, like the kids. I was kind of confused because like there's all these babies, right? But none of the kids really looked that much older.
Well, I think, was there a bunch of babies or only one? Because
No,
Savannah had.
there was a baby, and then there was like another, like maybe 2-year-old or 3-year-old.
Yeah. Maybe Savannah was the mother of all of them.
Oh, maybe.
Because I know that she had one.
Because she was pregnant, right?
Yeah. But then she says that they're going to keep the lights on in case Max ever returns. So, question. Do you think that the end of this movie relates to some of the events in Mad Max Fury Road? Like with the babies, like, do you think the babies are like the women in Mad Max Fury Road? Like, you know, I can't remember what they're called,
Yeah.
but like how the women in that movie are.
Just the milkers.
Yeah. Or like, do you think one of Savannah's babies is going to end up being Furiosa?
I don't think so, because Furiosa was from like a Greenland, like
That's
somewhere
true.
else.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out when we watch that movie, but
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know.
don't know, it just makes me wonder, 'cause like obviously the like the birth of children obviously shows that there's like some sort of hope for this new civilization. So like, do you think that George Miller kind of would have bridged that gap with these kids?
I don't know.
Or maybe they're all the war boys.
Maybe, yeah.
I
Cool.
don't know.
Anything else?
I want to know how they're running lights in this city.
Maybe it's because candles.
Did they find a bunch of pigs? They're just using pig shit.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have anything else, though.
Cool. All right. Well, that's the way the bullets fly, I guess.
Pig shit flies.
Yeah.
All right. How did you rate this movie?
I gave it a 3 out of 5. Pretty similar to the first one, I think. The story of this one was kind of eh. The kids kind of threw me off. I really liked the set design and the costume designs. I thought the acting was great. I thought Tina Turner was fucking fantastic. I loved the music. Yeah, I just wish there maybe a bit more to this one. This movie's almost 2 hours long as well, but I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I definitely watched it again. So I gave it 3 out of 5.
Okay.
Which you?
I gave it 2.5 out of 5.
Okay.
It's definitely my least favorite of the franchise. And it's not that it's like necessarily bad. It just didn't really feel like a Mad Max movie. Like there were certain parts that did, but then other parts, like how you mentioned with the kids and all that shit, like it just, I don't know. It really kind of took me out of the whole Mad Max vibe.
Yeah.
I said like it felt like Mad Max meets Peter Pan meets the Goonies in a sense. Like it almost felt like a family, more of a family movie.
Yeah.
Than like, I don't know, like a movie that you could watch as like a 10-year-old or something. But I don't know. There was a lot less like over the top action in this one too. Like we only have like one action sequence really. I mean, we have the fight in the Thunderdome, but in terms of like Mad Max action, we only have one
no
scene.
Eyes popping out of heads.
No eyes popping out of heads. That's right. But yeah, like I think the acting was good. Like, I don't know, like Tina Turner, you mentioned she was great. The soundtrack was good, but it wasn't like a Mad Max type soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like we had Tina Turner songs throughout this movie and it was just, it was cool, but it was weird at the same time. Cause it was, I don't know. I mean,
fair.
If you have her in the movie, you have to have some of her songs, but I get it. It was just weird. So yeah, 2.5 out of 5. I'll watch it again, but
yeah,
it's definitely my least favorite of the three.
All right.
All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. The critics' consensus. Beyond Thunderdome deepens the Mad Max character without sacrificing the amazing vehicle choreography and stunts that made the originals memorable. So based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
I forget what the other ones were. I'll go with like 72.
81%.
Wow, okay.
On 54 reviews and an average score of 6.5 out of 10. And the audience score, 49%.
Ish.
On 50,000 ratings and an average score of 3.2 out of 5 or a 6.4 out of 10.
Damn.
So, I mean, the average score is good, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Letterboxd has a 3.0. I don't know why I said it like that. My friend's rating is a 2.9, so pretty much the same.
Yep.
I gave it a 3. You gave it a 2.5, I believe.
Yep. We already said that.
Oh, we did. Yes. Sorry.
That was our whole review that we just finished
it was,
doing.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Time for
Cunning Stunts.
What did you rate the stunts in this movie?
I'll go with a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
I'll go, yeah, 6 out of 10. I thought like the fight scene was good, and then the last, you know, 10 minutes of the car chase was good. So yeah.
Okay. Favorite stunt?
Favorite stunt? We actually didn't mention this. I just forgot about it, but it was part of Iron Bar's sequence, like whenever he was jumping from car to car, but also whenever he was on the side of the thing and he was holding on to like the rail that was like on the outside.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're going over the bridge and there's like these, I don't know, gates that are coming up, and he has to like do fucking chin-ups and go over it.
Yeah.
He has to do like 4 in a row. That was funny. But
yeah.
Yeah, the sequence with Iron Bar, like when he's like jumping from car to car and stuff, I thought was okay. Cool. And then stunt I would like to try. I mean, you're probably going to say the same thing, but the fucking bungee jump, the bungee cord in the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Instead of real weapons, like, you know, those like fucking styrofoam ones you see like at fairs and stuff.
Like American Gladiator type style.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Nice.
What about you?
My stunt rating, I gave it a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
We have a lot less like crazy high flying action in this movie. There's a lot less explosions and like car chases and stuff like that. So I had to drop it down a little bit. We do still have, like you mentioned, that whole train sequence at the end, the fight in the Thunderdome. But those are like our only two things that you can really base this off of. And even like that whole train thing, like there's only one or two people that are really doing anything in this to maybe three people that are really like doing any major stunts. So my favorite stunt, I already mentioned it during the movie discussion, but the guy that lays down across the two train cars, I just thought like it's so not plausible.
Like, yeah,
there's no way that this would happen, but I don't know, I thought it was funny to see, and I don't know, it just goes to show how much control Anti-Entity had over these people.
Yeah.
And yeah, you nailed it with the fight in the Thunderdome. That I feel like would be so much fun.
Yeah, it would. Yeah,
bouncing and flying all over the place on these bungee ropes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that wraps it up, episode 3. So that means our next episode is going to be Fury Road.
Woo!
Which I'm super stoked about.
Me too.
We named this podcast after this movie.
Yeah.
So obviously we both love it. And yeah, I'm just super stoked to watch it. And we've already discussed this movie before on Chuck and Ruff Go to the Movies. But yeah. I mean, I could talk about this movie any day. So
me too.
Super pumped. Super pumped. Guess that's it. If you don't have anything else.
That's it.
All right. Well, if you guys want to catch us on social media, you can find us at A Podcast on Fury Road on Instagram. Check out our other podcast, Podcast on Elm Street, where we do all of our horror movies. And yeah, make sure you come back in a couple weeks where we will be talking about Fury Road.
Yes, sir. All right, guys. Talk to you in a couple weeks.
See you later.